Hello, this is the Context Machine. Welcome to it. It's episode 635 in particular. I'm Brian Chaffin, your disorganized co-host.
And I'm Jeff Gamet, your obviously very easily entertained other co-host.
And perpetually organized, as opposed to the perpetually disorganized me.
This is how we keep nature in the universe.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, Brian, did you know we have a website? It's like our online home.
Huh, really?
Contextmachine.io.
Interesting. Well, you can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. You can find us. Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop mentioning post.
You know, the fact that we have the self-awareness to know when it's time to just stop talking about the thing that we've been pretending we're using and not.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Go us.
Right. But we are on Mastodon, where I believe you post our stuff. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. And I think I found a way to automate it, so it'll be even easier.
Well, yeah, that's good. Do we get any interactions on the Mastodon? I mean, I don't know because I don't bother with Mastodon.
We do, yeah. And my guess is that we will continue to see that grow.
I have figured out how.
Okay, for those of you playing along at home, Brian just completely dismissed everything that I said.
Yes, I did. I have figured out how to make additional accounts on Threads.
Oh, and, great.
Well, I am active on Threads. I'm like actively active on Threads, which is a change from probably anybody. Our longest listeners may remember a time when I was active on the Exeter site. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I am active on Threads, and I'm going to make us a Threads account for the
awesome
podcast.
Awesome. I think that will be an awesome thing for us to have.
Yeah. And I'll take responsibility for curating it.
Who are you and what have you done with Brian?
Well, it's because I can't share a login. So if I want it to happen, I'm gonna have to do it because you're most busy on Mastodon, and I have never found any interest in being on Mastodon, but I am on Threads. And so anyway, if I want the Context Machine to have a site, have a presence on a social media platform that's not Mastodon, that means I got to do it. And since I can't share the login, that means that I got to do it.
You know, this is actually great because it means for once, the fact that I've been busy with all these other things and just kept pushing that off has paid off.
That's usually me.
I know. I feel like we're in bizarro world.
Either that or I've taught you well.
Thank you.
I don't really know. Anyway, so yeah. So and meanwhile, I am on Threads at GeekTales, and also I am posting as the main character of my soon-to-be-announced book, Mason Truman, on Threads too. He's at Mason Truman PI. Just want to throw that out there.
Awesome.
And you are.
By the way, I do enjoy seeing Mason posting, and I'm now kind of disappointed because you shattered the illusion. I really thought Mason had figured out how to post through time.
He asked me to, you know, take the, you know, to not get him in trouble.
That's really cool that mm-hmm. you're willing to do that for mm-hmm. Mason. Mm-hmm.
And you're Jay Gamet on all the socials.
I am. Yeah. And you're right. I'm most active on Mastodon. And that's where my, Inktober drawings are showing up. I'm posting them on Instagram, but then cross posting out to Mastodon and Threads as well.
That makes sense. All right. So, let's get to it.
Okay, let's do it.
I would like for you to tell me, I'm going to steal your joke. You've got Apple Pencil 2 and Apple Pencil 2. Is that right? Currently on offer from Apple.
Yes. But if you bring up the website, the joke gets better.
Oh.
Because you have Apple Pencil, and Apple Pencil. Which one is right for you?
I see. Where? Wait, I don't see where. Oh, there we go. There's the Apple Pencil link. I am doing this in real time.
I could just give you the link, but what's the fun in that?
Yeah, what's the fun in that? Dream it up, jot it down. Apple Pencil, second generation.
In Apple parentheses. Pencil,
USB-C, and in Apple Pencil, first generation.
In parentheses. So if you look at them without these parenthetical additions,
yeah.
It's Apple Pencil, Apple Pencil, and Apple Pencil.
Right. And so I'm taking it that the USB-C is the generation 2.5.
No, but sort of. Apple is not making this easy for generation naming and stuff. But then again, that's Apple's strong point, failing at product naming.
Which came first, Apple Pencil second generation or Apple Pencil USB-C?
Apple Pencil second generation came first. So then you have Apple Pencil 2.5. USB-C, but it's not a second generation Apple Pencil.
Okay. All right. So
how do you pick the right one for you?
Oh, I see that there are missing check marks.
Yeah.
So Apple has, if you scroll down this page, by the way, for those following along at home, there's an Apple Pencil features that lists Apple Pencil, Apple Pencil, and Apple Pencil. And then there's a list of features with check marks or dashes for, you know, which one has which. And the USB-C model, which came after the second generation, to Jeff's point, doesn't have four check marks that are on the second generation label.
Yeah.
That's weird.
So it makes it more confusing, I think. But I can help you sort it out.
Okay.
So let's start with the easier one out of this mix, which is the first generation Apple Pencil that has a Lightning connector on it.
Okay. And this one's the round one.
That's the round one. Has a little cap that comes off the end and you lose.
Right. Right. And also, like, to charge it, you would plug it into your iPad and wait to snap it off.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. It's like you have seen this before.
I have one somewhere.
Yeah. And if you're like me, when that one needs to be charged, you don't do it when you're out. You only do it at home where no one sees you doing the most ridiculous plug-in charging thing outside of the Magic Mouse where you have to lay it on its back.
Yeah.
Like a turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Lightning version of Apple Pencil.
Okay.
That one, if you're buying a new iPad today and you're buying an iPad 9, that one has a Lightning port on it.
Okay.
So that means that you need the first generation Apple Pencil.
Right.
So basically, if there's a Lightning port on the iPad, that's compatible with first generation Apple Pencil.
And only the first generation Apple Pencil.
Correct.
So you're telling me that I cannot use the second generation Apple Pencil or the Apple Pencil USB-C on an iPad that has a Lightning port. I can't even use it.
The first generation with the USB-C adapter, works on a couple. Oh,
so I think it
works.
I'm looking at the Apple Pencil compatibility list on that same page, and the
10th generation will work with this, but you have to have the USB-C to Apple Pencil adapter.
Right, and there are otherwise, my original statement is true, that the Apple Pencil with the light, the first generation Apple Pencil is only usable on devices that the second generation Apple Pencil is not compatible with.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, if you have a Lightning port, this is the one you want, unless you have a 10th generation, in which case you need an adapter, which is stupid because now Apple's just making something that's already confusing even more so.
All right. Yes, but at the same time, I think if I was going to buy an Apple Pencil and an iPad 10th generation today, I would want to get the USB-C.
The USB-C. Yes.
Because it's going to have the greatest chance of having a longer life. I'm not going to say it's going to have a longer life. It's going to have the greatest chance of having a longer life.
Except if you need certain features that aren't available on Apple Pencil with USB-C.
There is only
one. Do you want pressure sensitivity?
Yes.
And when you say only one feature, that's like saying I'm buying a car, but it's only missing the wheels.
That's fair, and I do find it incredibly weird that Apple would take pressure sensitivity out of any Apple Pencil, which it did. Pressure sensitivity works on second generation and first generation, but mm-hmm. not the USB-C generation.
Yep, so that's a cost-saving thing, and I believe a target market thing. All right, so let's talk about Apple Pencil second generation and Apple Pencil USB-C.
Okay.
So they are compatible with, of course, newer iPads. For Apple Pencil second generation, it needs to be a model that has the magnetic charging thing on the side.
Charging?
Uh-huh.
Does it charge?
Yes, if you stick your second generation Apple Pencil to the side of your iPad, it charges. That's literally how you charge it.
Huh. Who knew?
Well, I mean, other than me and probably most everyone else, no one.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, so okay, so that means if you have a sixth generation iPad mini, fourth or fifth generation iPad Air, the 11-inch iPad Pro, or a third generation and newer 12.9-inch iPad Pro.
Yes.
Those all have that magnetic connector thing on the side. Touch the Apple Pencil to that. It starts charging, and it pairs with your iPad.
All right, so to this point, it seems to me that if you're buying any device on which a second generation Apple Pencil or the Apple Pencil USB-C will work on, that you would be best served by buying the more expensive Apple Pencil second generation.
Maybe. Okay, so look at it from the use case. Let's say that you want an Apple Pencil with your iPad because you take notes and you do some we'll call it stylus-based navigation. Mm-hmm. But this isn't something where you actually need the full range of artistic capabilities that come with an Apple Pencil.
Okay.
You can save a bunch of money by going with Apple Pencil USB-C.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
So I see this as an option for people who are not artists,
but
for business people,
but
for students.
Doesn't this mean that you are not going to do any artistic things? And you know you're not ever going to do any artistic things, period. Like, if you think that you might, it seems like it would be better to go with the second generation one.
Yeah, maybe. But still, there's a lot of artistic stuff you can do without pressure sensitivity. That said, if you know you're going to use your Apple Pencil for something more artistic, or if maybe there's an interface on an app that that uses pressure sensitivity to do some sort of navigation thing or feature thing, then sure, you would want that. Now, are there any apps that use pressure sensitivity as part of navigation or control?
Not that I know of.
Outside of art? I don't know.
But to be fair, we've already established that I don't know much.
Okay, fair. Yeah. So here's how it breaks down for me. Do you know if you're going to use your Apple Pencil for art-related things? If so, you want to have pressure sensitivity. So if you have a Lightning port, of course, you're just getting the first generation Apple Pencil. Otherwise, you're getting the second generation Apple Pencil. If you don't actually feel a need to have the pressure sensitivity, you know you're not going to do art, or you need to buy your Apple Pencil on a budget, meaning lower price, Apple Pencil USB-C will fill that for you. What you don't get compared to Apple Pencil 2 is pressure sensitivity. You don't have wireless charging or wireless pairing. And the double tap gestures on the Apple Pencil 2, you don't have that. You also can't get it engraved. But then again, only Apple Pencil 2 is engravable. You can't do that on the first gen Apple Pencil.
Right. So I'm sure that I am projecting a whole lot here, but I feel like if you are buying an Apple Pencil to navigate, that you're doing it wrong.
I would say that, yes, you're projecting. There are a lot of people where an Apple Pencil is a very useful part of navigation, either because it's just easier for them to do that, or because they have something else physical that makes it difficult for them to use finger taps to navigate their iPad.
That certainly would be the exception to my projection.
So, anyhow, I see. What I'm trying to do is come up with a virtual table, if you will, that makes it easier for people to figure out which Apple Pencil is right for them.
Yeah.
And we know for Lightning that one's pretty easy. For everyone else, do you want to be able to charge without a wire? Do you need pressure sensitivity? How important is the price? And look at those three things. And if you need pressure sensitivity, okay, well, then you need the Apple Pencil 2. Is wireless charging that important to you? Okay, well, then that would be Apple Pencil 2. If not, then you could go either way. And then for pairing, do you want to be able to do wireless pairing with your iPad? If you only have one iPad, it probably doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be moving from iPad to iPad. I'm one of those weird people, and I am using my Apple Pencil 2 with a sixth generation iPad mini and something whatever generation 12.9-inch iPad Pro. So I'm actually jumping back and forth between them. If I had to go with a cable plugged in to the Apple Pencil and my iPad each time I wanted to switch, that would not work for me.
Sure. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. And Brian, I totally get why when you're looking at everything, you're thinking, you know, for the extra money, why not just get the Apple Pencil 2 so you have all the features and then you're just covered.
Yeah, that does
and I think
like
for a lot of people,
particularly Brian way to approach it.
It sure, but it also, I mean, I think for some people it'll really make sense to do that. But for other people, I mean, when you're talking $129 versus $79, that's a significant price difference.
It is. That's true.
So I see this as Apple's way to address a more economic focused buyer and also like institutional buyers, like schools that need to buy a bunch of pencils,
right.
Businesses that need to buy a bunch of Apple pencils.
Right. All right, man. Thank you very much for explaining that to us.
Sure. And enjoy your Apple Pencil second generation, Brian.
Thanks. I think I do have one somewhere.
You probably do because...
that's kind of how we roll.
Yeah, it's how we roll. But I still love it. Naming, do you need to buy the Apple Pencil, the Apple Pencil, or the Apple Pencil?
That is true. Now, can we please move on to the important topic, which is the topic that I wanted to bring to the table?
That would make it the important topic.
Yay!
Now, the Apple Pencil topic would have been important if you were ready to buy
right.
one.
Right. Or if I, yes, yes, yes. But as it is,
But you know what? Thank you for being so generous.
To so allow that, our time to be
to
taken
our audience.
By this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You are welcome. All right. So seriously, I have a theory.
Theory or hypothesis? I ask only because you're mostly pedantic.
That's true. I am mostly pedantic. It is definitely a hypothesis. I don't know if I can truly elevate it to a theory, but I yes, it's a theory.
I love that I was able to drop that in your lap and stop you and make you really think about this to decide if it's a hypothesis.
Well, because yeah, all right. So here's the deal. Aliens should be alien.
Okay, so by definition, aliens are alien. Where are you going with this?
Okay. I'm gonna end up telling you about a story that I've wanted to write for a long time. But okay, first, well, we're going to talk about
you have me.
Apple, the Apple TV Plus series Invasion.
Okay, and I haven't watched it, but from what I understand, Invasion means there's an alien invasion, meaning extraterrestrials are invading Earth.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about the show. First of all, I mostly hate watch the first season. And that's
that puts a lot of interest in it for me right there.
And the reason why I was so frustrated, like, because I liked it, but the characters were all so selfish and just constantly making what I felt like were wrong decisions. And they were
so very realistic then.
Yeah, maybe.
Look at the world around us.
Maybe if there aren't Gen Xers running the show. Yeah. Maybe from a different generation standpoint, maybe those decisions did make sense. But from my Gen X standpoint, I was like hoping they would all die.
Like, because, you were rooting for the extraterrestrials.
Yeah. Yes, I was, because the good guys were all just terrible people. Terrible people. Almost all.
It's feeling a lot like a documentary from your description.
No, all right. So there is an alien invasion. It kind of comes out of nowhere. It's enormous. Government civilizations are disrupted, but not necessarily destroyed. And there are different pockets of people that we're following. So we've got a SEAL soldier who was in Iraq.
Okay.
I don't think he was in Afghanistan. I think he was in Iraq. And we've got a bunch of school kids who they were like one of the few sets of characters that I thought were truly rootable for. You've got a Japanese scientist and her girlfriend, the astronaut. And then we have an Iranian-American family who is in the midst of problems with their relationship.
Okay.
And again, they just make all the wrong decisions. So I don't care about the first season. The second season, however, has been fantastic. I really, really enjoyed the second season. We just had episode 9 this week. I think there will be, I'm assuming it's going to be a 10 episode season. And it's been fantastic. And the thing in particular that I think that the showrunners have really gotten right is that the aliens are alien. They don't make any sense to us. They are inscrutable. We don't even know where to begin on trying to scrutinize them. And this plays into this idea that I've had for a long time, which is, so in particular, what I'm thinking about some of the books that I've read where humans are interacting with aliens and there will be some kind of problem and a human will figure it out. And I don't think that that's realistic. I think if there is a gross imbalance of power between the aliens and the humans, that the humans, of course, don't need to figure it out if the gross imbalance is in favor of the humans. But if it's in favor of the aliens, the humans shouldn't be able to figure it out. They shouldn't.
Okay, I'm with you. All right, so I have a question for you. If I just skip season 1 and start on season 2, will I be lost?
Oh, that's interesting.
Because if you had to hate watch season 1, you know me. I might get through episode 1 and then never again.
I think that what we that I could probably tell you enough about season 1 offline because I don't want to give everyone spoilers.
Sure.
And you could probably watch season 2 because it almost feels like two different shows.
Okay. Okay. I have a question for you and I'm almost completely certain I know the answer.
This is another question. Fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think I know the answer because I know how much you love Andy Weir as an author.
Have you
read Project Hail Mary?
No, I didn't read anything past Mars.
Okay,
I don't hate Andy Weir.
I never said you did. I just said I know how you feel about him as an author.
Okay.
You know, being mostly pedantic.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right. I would say skip Artemis.
Okay.
But read Project Hail Mary.
Okay.
And I think that that you might at least be interested in it, because it goes into a lot of the things that you've been talking about here.
Mm.
And I'm with you. Aliens should be alien. The likelihood that you would see a species on another planet evolve to be a bipedal, symmetrical body, carbon-based life form, just like us, or very close to what we look like, is it's astronomically small. That would happen. I get why in many TV shows and movies, the aliens do look very much like us for cost reason,
of course,
and also to make them relatable. But I'm with you. I don't think that we'd have aliens if we ever encounter life off of our planet. The likelihood that it will be remotely like us is very, very low.
Well, yes, but even above and beyond that, their actions should largely be inscrutable. Their decision making should be inscrutable. So, like Ender's Game, for instance. Ender's Game. Mm-hmm. Spoiler for this book that's like 30 years old. Ender's. Have you read it or seen it?
I read the book and I watched the movie and I liked the book more than the movie. We could have a whole Ender's Game discussion. I thought the version of that story from Bean's perspective was actually more compelling. Anyhow, please continue on.
Yes, and I loved it that he was able to present the Bean version of that story so compellingly. Anyway, that is in fact another topic. So at the end of Ender's Game, or maybe it might have even been one of the sequels, we find out that the alien intelligence had been killing our soldiers. Like, you know, like if the soldiers surrendered, the aliens would come and just basically like, you know, just start chopping them to bits. And we learned that it's because they're a hive intelligence and they essentially thought that we were the same and that they were like, you know, basically clipping their nails by when they were killing us.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. That comes in a later book.
Yeah. And I'm fair enough. I don't remember when it comes, but it does come. And actually, I think it's in the book, to be honest.
Really? I don't remember that from Ender's Game.
Okay, so anyway.
Ender's Game, that's where we get the big reveal that the kids are just being exploited as weapons.
Yeah, but then
spoiler.
Yeah. Spoiler. 15 books and 30 years later. Spoiler.
Yeah.
I
thought we found out about the aliens' actions in one of the later books when Ender is taking on a new role.
That might be the case. So anyway, we find out that the cause of all of the friction all along was simply misunderstanding each other. And so, you know, like I feel like Orson Scott Card sort of touched on this, but you know, still, I really feel like aliens should be alien. And I feel like that's hard to do. Back to Invasion, they do it really well. The life forms are weird. We don't get them. They don't make any sense. They're just weird. And I feel like they come this close to really getting it. And of course, the problem is they're telling a TV show. So there has to be some sort of denouement that is not everyone dying because the aliens eventually just crush us.
Yeah.
right? So anyway.
Yep. Okay, I'm with you. Yep.
Let me jump back to this idea for a story that I've long wanted to tell.
Yes, because that's what it's really about.
That's what it's about. And I don't know that I'm a good enough writer to tell this story. I don't know if I'm a good enough storyteller to tell the story. And I haven't even started it yet, but it's been kicking around in my head for a long time. So the idea is that humanity, you know, maybe a couple centuries from now, we started to expand into the galaxy, or at least our little corner of the galaxy. And we run into a species that treats us like animals because there's something that we don't, to borrow from Heinlein, we don't grok. And it's like they'll talk with us, so they, you know, they understand that we have intelligence. They'll negotiate with us, or have interactions with us, but at the same time, they might kill us at any time because there's this thing that we don't understand. And because we don't understand it, we are not the alien version of human, just like we treat our animals, right?
So, I was thinking much in the way that we treat whales and dolphins.
No, much more like in the way that we treat cows.
Oh, okay.
Right. I mean, not that many of us talk to cows, but you know, we feel like we're entitled to do whatever the hell we want to cows or chickens or most other animals, but in particularly the domesticated kind. And what I like about this idea is that, like, that we would be able to communicate with another species, but because we don't grok this one thing, therefore we don't have souls, or, you know, again, you know, like some concept that we might think of as a soul. And because we don't have this, they're free to do to us and with us what they wish.
Like we do with cows and chickens.
Yes. Now, and what I feel like is most fiction, science fiction in particular, that what would happen is that a human would eventually figure it out. And we would use that to either become equals or accepted, or even possibly to defeat these people. Okay, the thing is, though, that we shouldn't be able to figure it out. And if we can't figure it out, I shouldn't know what the hell's wrong. I shouldn't know. I should not be writing this book knowing the thing that we can't understand. Because if I can understand it, they can understand it. And if they can understand it, there wouldn't be any issue.
I see where you're going.
So, I've wanted to, I don't, and I guess the part of it, another part of the problem is that I don't know what the story actually is, but the setup, the setting is one that I find really interesting.
I like this idea too. And,
thanks, bro.
So I'm processing in my head and now, granted, I'm not a fiction writer, so take that into account. But I'm picturing a group of people who are simply trying to survive and have to overcome all kinds of obstacles just to survive, while their lives are being threatened by this other species, these aliens that just simply don't grok who we are or what we are.
They don't care.
And they don't care.
Because we don't understand this thing.
And or maybe there's a group of people in an alien zoo.
Sure.
Or yeah. And if any of them survive, it's not by outwitting the aliens. It's through dumb luck or a lack of disinterest on the aliens' parts, which I guess could amount to dumb luck.
Yeah, and you know, in this world that I'm, you know, sort of inventing, the aliens are as far above us as we are above cows, technologically speaking. So, you know, there shouldn't be any place that we can run. There shouldn't be any way for us to hide. And like, you know, the reason why they haven't just killed us all is because they can just, you know, keep us around and use us like cattle. So anyway, I do like this story idea, and I feel like Invasion is coming close to that, except for they do need their humans to survive. And so they can't take it to its obvious conclusion, which is that everyone dies. Because they, you know, that's a way to
I guess if they decide, okay, we're going to do one more season and that's it, they could end the season with people are just dead.
Yeah, I suppose.
Wouldn't be a wrap up, human extinction, to wrap up the series?
There would be probably, you know, some people's name who would become mud in the entertainment world. And plus, I can't imagine Tim. Yeah, you know, Tim would be like, do they have to be so mean?
Although, wouldn't that be a pretty strong and bold move to wrap up a series by just extinction?
Yes. Well, yes, it would be, but they won't do that. So, I guess let me summarize. I'm liking season two of Invasion. I think it has become super interesting. I love how they are treating aliens from a storytelling and from a visual effects standpoint, from a practical effects standpoint. It is a good show, and I'm glad that I persevered and. Like, because I didn't even want to start it at first, the season two. Like, And I'm glad I did.
Well, I'm glad you gave me fair warning, because I'd been thinking about starting the series.
Okay.
And based on what you're saying, the likelihood that I would have gotten beyond episode one of season one is very low.
Okay. To be fair, though, you are not insane like me. So you may not have had these problems that I had.
Okay, that's fair. However, you know how fickle I am about television shows and movies and books. And while everyone raved about Silo, I almost didn't make it through episode one. And the only reason I kept watching was because I had so many people telling me, oh, you have to see this next episode. And I got to the end of the season. I'm like, okay, by the time we got to the end of the season, the storytelling in those later episodes, I was okay with. So overall, I thought Silo was fine. But it wasn't the amazing show for me that it was for everyone else. But I did start reading the first book, and holy crap, how did that ever get picked up to become a TV series? Because I got a couple chapters in, and I'm like, this guy needs an editor. And the first thing the editor should have done is said, you don't reveal the whole freaking thing in the first chapter.
So
anyhow,
I have a policy as a writer to completely unrelated to this conversation, completely and totally unrelated to this conversation. I do have a policy of not talking about or writing, doing reviews of books I don't like.
And that's fair.
Because the chance of blowback in the modern age, in the age of social media, against from people who, you know, from a writer or a writer's fans is very high. So I either, if I'm going to talk about a book or I'm going to review a book, it's going to be a book that I like. And otherwise I'm going to ignore it and then maybe trash talk them privately.
Okay, well, then let me wrap up my impromptu review by saying, don't tell me how you feel about the books if you have even read them, and we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, that seems reasonable. All right, man. I hope that my sort of rambling discussion of aliens made sense. And I hope it makes sense within the context of the story that I wanted to tell and the story that Invasion is telling. I don't know that it did, but I hope that it did.
Well, if nothing else, I enjoyed the conversation. And I find the idea of this new story you want to tell to be very intriguing and very compelling. And I don't know how you tell it, but I certainly hope you explore it and experiment with it and see if you can come up with an interesting story around this premise. Because I think it sounds really fascinating.
It kind of feels like it needs to be a short story. Because short stories can have negative outcomes for protagonists in ways that novels really can't.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your short story, and I fully accept that short stories can become the foundations for more involved, more intricate, longer stories.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's it. Maybe they're just a short story.
Yeah. Anyway, that's definitely a topic for another week, and I am just waiting for my website to be redesigned, and I'm going to do my cover reveal and announce my launch date for my book, Accidental Intelligence. So do keep an eye on my blog at geektells.com or, you know, on Threads or Instagram. That's where I'll be talking about it.
Having been in the very lucky position, I think, of being able to watch the evolution of your book from when it wasn't even done and reading chapters and not knowing what's coming next because you literally hadn't written it yet, to where we are now, where you're just waiting for the website to be finished. You're just about to release your book. I am really excited.
Thanks, man. You have always been my one of my two biggest cheerleaders, you and Sam.
Well, if you didn't write a good book, I wouldn't be as excited. I would still support you, but I wouldn't be as excited.
Thanks.
And knowing how fickle I am about stories, the fact that I'm excited about this and have enjoyed your book multiple times and multiple versions, that says a lot right there. So I am very much looking forward to hearing what our listeners think of your book when they buy it. Because everyone, go buy Brian's book. It'll be a cool thing to do.
Thanks, Bubba Gump, as the kids say. I'm fairly sure that that's what the kids say. All right, let's do this. That is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And Jeff, that's it for this week, man.
I'm so glad we did this because I've had so much fun hearing about your story ideas.
And I really appreciated learning about Apple Pencil from you. So, you know, yay us, right?
Yay us.